We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Why is food inflation so stubbornly high? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Inflation has been cooling across a broad range of categories, but lagging behind is the price of food, specifically food eaten at home. That is Bureau of Labor Statistics ease for groceries. They are up 3.6% year over year. That is higher than overall inflation. This is all per July's Consumer Price Index. There are lots of causes for more expensive food. Climate change, the war in Ukraine, the protectionist trade policies have all contributed. But a key ingredient is the increasing cost of the labor behind the food. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more.
Take the American classic, PB&J. It has three main components, peanut butter and jelly, of course, and bread.
None of those are raw commodities coming straight from farmers' fields.
Chris Barrett's a professor of agricultural and development economics at Cornell. He says generally, only 15% of the retail price goes to the farmer for the actual peanuts and grapes and wheat. Most goes towards milling and packaging and transporting those things. And wages for people who do many of those jobs have gone up.
And the good news hidden in that higher grocery bill is that the workers all along the way are actually getting paid more than inflation.
Still, those high bills hurt, and consumers of all income levels have adopted strategies that lower them. Terry Griffin's an agricultural economist at Kansas State. He got a large freezer and a smoker and started buying half a cow directly from the farmer.
The first one lasted us about 6 months because we were really excited. So about every weekend we were smoking meat, but we slowed down since then.
Griffin says not only is it less expensive, he thinks the meat's better quality too. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
The IRS has lost track of millions of individual and business tax records. We know this courtesy of a government watchdog. The data was stored on microfilm cartridges, technology the IRS has been using since the 1960s. Microfilm, turns out, can last 500 years if you don't lose it. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has the details.
The IRS is required to store individuals' tax records for 30 years and business returns for 75 years. Since the 1960s, they've been archived on microfilm cartridges kept at storage centers. Investigators from the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration toured those facilities. They say they found some cartridges sitting on open shelving in the middle of a warehouse and empty boxes that should have contained cartridges. The report notes the archived taxpayer information could be used to commit tax fraud or identity theft. The IRS says the problems are due to understaffing, and it's going to start archiving taxpayer information electronically. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Hip-hop all started, story has it, with a guy named DJ Kool Herc spinning records at a party in the Bronx in New York 50 years ago today. Hip-hop is now a multi-billion dollar global industry. Its artists are some of the world's most prominent entrepreneurs. They have fashion lines, alcohol brands, endorsement deals. It was not always this way. Trina Menino filed this report on the rise of entrepreneurship in the industry from the birthplace of hip-hop, New York.
Richard Simpson, better known as Chub Rock, is backstage at an event in Queens, celebrating 50 years of hip-hop. He's been part of the scene since the 1980s.
And there was a place here in Long Island City that pressed records, and I remember buying, I think it was two boxes of records, and giving them to DJs and hoping for the best.
Chub Rock went on to nab a record contract at 17 years old and had hits like Treat 'Em Right. With the money from his first deal, his mom advised him to invest some of it in a taxi business.
And that's really the business that helped us out, because we went from that to opening a bar.
Early hip-hop pioneers like Chub Rock may not have had a flashy headphone company like Dr. Dre, which later sold to Apple, or their own cognac brand like 50 Cent, but they knew a lot about salesmanship. Writer and NYU professor Dan Charnas says those early black artists had to become entrepreneurs because when they started out recording their music, they were boxed out of the mainstream.
That's what hip hop had to do in order to even survive.
Eventually, the big labels did see how popular hip hop was becoming. After securing high profile record deals, Charnas says more artists started forming their own companies and brands in the mid-1990s. And it wasn't just hip-hop artists founding businesses. Designer April Walker grew up in Brooklyn, where hip-hop was everywhere, blaring from car stereos, in clubs, on the street.
But guess what? We could not go in the stores and buy anything that told our stories visually.
So she went on to start the independent streetwear label Walkerwear in 1990. Her sweatsuits and oversized jerseys were sought after by hip-hop stars like Tupac and Biggie Smalls. Streetwear is now so popular that in 2019, its global market sales were an estimated $185 billion. Although hip-hop is still booming in many ways, Chub Rock says there's a lot of work to be done to make the business more equitable, particularly for women.
Right now, the queens of hip-hop are the ones dominating the genre.
But, he says, women still aren't profiting from brand spinoffs as much as men in the industry. In New York, I'm Trina Menino for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.